Summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons and power to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road, he told them. No walking stick, no traveling bag, no bread, no money, and don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Verse 5 says, if they do not welcome you when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. Chapter 10, verses 1 to 11 reads, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He told them, the harvest is abundant or plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, or sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they offer, for the worker is worthy of his wages. Don't move from house to house, and when you enter any town and they welcome you, eat the things that are set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. When you enter any town and they don't welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we are wiping off as a witness against you even the dust of your town that clings to our feet. Know this for certain. The kingdom of God has come near. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you again on this day. We thank you for allowing us all to be gathered here together as your sons and your daughters and the children of God who have been adopted. We ask that you would speak to us on this morning through your word, that our hearts might be changed, that our minds might be changed, that our spirits might be lifted, and that you might be glorified. It's in the name of Jesus the Christ that we always pray. Amen. Amen. So good morning again. It is my pleasure to be here and to share with you again this morning. And I'm sure after last week, we're wondering, where are we going today after we shared about where Jesus is, about how we move throughout this Christian life, understanding that every time and every experience that we have is not always a time that's hunky-dory. So this week, what I'd like to share with you about is the sermon title is that these shoes are made for walking. So some of you might know that as a familiar song title. That's from 1966, and actually it's by Nancy Sinatra, and she says that these what are made for walking? Boots. These boots are made for walking. So you might also be saying, Cheryl, what do you even know about Nancy Sinatra in 1966? Because you were not born, which is true. But this is a song that I've heard played, and it's always been interesting to me, and we might go through a few of the lyrics as we go through the sermon today. But when I talk about these shoes are made for walking, the shoes that I'm speaking about are the shoes that Christ speaks about. The shoes that we wear, that Paul talks to the church at Ephesus about. These shoes that are shod or our feet are prepared with the gospel of peace. And he was giving a commission, the Great Commission, as many of us know, about going out and go ye therefore into all the earth and share the gospel message. But what Jesus was doing in the Gospel of Luke is he was sharing with the apostles, and then he shared with the disciples two very distinct sets of instructions, but also two same sets of instructions. So when I think about Nancy Sinatra and I listen to the lyrics of the song and some of the things that she said about these boots are made for walking, when I look at the scripture lesson, and it starts in chapter 9 and goes through chapter 10, when it says that Jesus summoned the 12, and he gave them power and authority over all the demons, the power to heal diseases. And then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God to heal the sick. And every once in a while, when we think about the apostles and we think about how they were summoned and how they were called, I think a lot of times we think that the shoes that those God who has called, like preachers and teachers and pastors and evangelists, all of those that Ephesians lists, we think that somehow those shoes might not fit us. And the truth is that we are all Christians, and God has called us all to something, no matter what that something is. The something is going out into all the world and proclaiming the gospel to those who we come in contact with. And again, sometimes younger, sometimes older, we think this call is only for certain persons. We think it's only for the young people who will probably grow up as missionaries and go out and preach and teach and help the world and go into third world countries. And then we think it's about pastors who are pastoring over churches or congregations or commissioned pastors, as we have in the Reformed Church. And we think that their special assignments that they have are only those who are called to go out into the world to preach this gospel. But the truth is that my shoes and your shoes are all made for walking. Walking in this life of faith that God has called us to. He goes on to tell the apostles this. He says, take nothing for the road, no walking stick, no traveling bag, no bread, no money, and don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And you might say, well, what does that mean? Is Jesus telling them, don't take any of the things that you will need? Don't take any of those things that are a necessity? Actually, Jesus was kind of using a hyperbole for us, but for them, he meant what he said. He was telling them, because of the times that they lived in and where they were going to travel, that you don't need these things. You don't need extra shirts. You don't need money. You don't need traveling bags. You need to go proclaim the gospel, and those who receive you will provide you with the necessities of life that you need. How does that speak to us today? It speaks to us in a day that is so filled with technology and socializing and chit-chat and comforts of this world, that sometimes I think the gospel message of Jesus Christ through our lives gets lost somewhere in there. Through our iPhones and our iPads and our technology and our televisions and all of these things that we are so comfortable with, at sometimes they hinder what we do for the work of the kingdom. I work every day at the Christian Healthcare Center, as many of you know, and I'm the special events planner there. And sometimes, although it is called the Christian Healthcare Center, it doesn't mean that everyone's a Christian, but I am. It doesn't mean that everyone believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I do. So when I go about my day there as an employee there, I work, and every once in a while, I don't necessarily think about, Cheryl, you're not necessarily in the minister role today, or you're not necessarily in the evangelistic role today. You're here as a special events planner. We're going to have Employee Appreciation Day, and that's what my focus is. Until God changes the focus, until the Holy Spirit shows up in a person who's seeking and searching, like it happened to me on this past Wednesday. Sitting in the office, everybody is gearing up for the July 4th holiday, which really meant that July 4th was on Thursday, but I wasn't going to see anybody else until Monday morning. But I had to go to work on Friday. I'm over it now because I went to work and that was fine. So on Wednesday afternoon, a young lady comes into the office and she's talking and chit-chatting. And believe it or not, when I'm in my work capacity, I'm very focused on my job and what I do. I'm very cordial. I try to be very jovial, but I also am very focused. So for whatever reason, I've been there now I've been there a year. And she comes over to me and she says, Cheryl, I have a question. Keep in mind that the shoes that you and I wear are made for walking. And I'm like, sure. I won't call her name to protect the innocent. So she says, I have a question. You know, I was watching a documentary about dinosaurs, and it was great. It was something on National Geographic. And I have a question about God. I'm thinking, well, that's interesting. So I'm like, shoot, tell me what your question is. So she says, I want to know, were dinosaurs here before God was here? Now, some might think that this is at least 27-year-old young woman. Some might think that that's a very elementary question. But what I say is that because my shoes are made for walking, and because the shoes that I wear are shod and are fitted with the gospel of peace, then it's my responsibility to share with her by faith what I know it to be. So I say to her, I say, well, a lot of times when we talk about God, we have to understand that what you believe about God is according to your own faith. So I say to her, I'll call her Anna. So I say, Anna, what I say to you is that I believe that God created dinosaurs. And I believe that God was here in the beginning, but I believe that only according to my faith. Now, in my heart and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I know where I'm going with this, but she doesn't. So she says, well, that's interesting, because I've asked other people from other religions, and they really haven't had a really good answer for me. I said, well, again, by my own belief, I believe according to my faith, and I believe what the Word of God says. And it just so happens I keep a little pink Bible on my desk, because I figured pink is cute, it won't be intimidating to anyone. So I said, what I'll do is I'll go to the book of Genesis. And I went right there to Genesis chapter 1. And again, because Christ has come for us. He didn't come to abolish the law, is what the Word says, but he comes to free us. So I believe in the freedom that I had in Jesus Christ. So I say to her, Anna, this is what I believe by faith. And I begin to read the Genesis 1 account to her very lightheartedly, very lovingly, but understanding that the shoes that I wear are made for walking. And the truth is that we don't ever know when we're going to have to walk in these shoes. I go on to share with her the Genesis 1 account, and she is really listening intently. And then we continue with the whole conversation, as not to go through the entire conversation that she and I had, which went on for about 16 to 18 minutes. And what I shared with her was, I encourage you to read the story again when you get home. Just begin there, and you'll get some of your answers. And what she says to me is, Cheryl, thank you. I never thought that I would understand it that way. Now, I don't give any credit to myself, as you shouldn't give any credit to yourselves if this type of situation happens to you. But what I say is that these shoes are made for walking, and the truth is we never know when we're going to have to walk in them. The gospel writer goes on here to say in verse 4, whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. If they do not welcome you when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. If Anna had not received the information that I had shared with her, I wouldn't have held it against her. But what I would have done is said, and what Jesus is saying to them, again, is very literal in a sense, because he was giving the apostles specific instructions. They had walked with him for a very long time, so they knew how Jesus operated. But for us today, I wouldn't have taken any offense to Anna. I wouldn't have preached any fire and brimstone and hell talk to her. I wouldn't have done any of that. But I would have shared with her what was given to me to share. And then she can take that information and she can do what she liked with it, because she's free to believe or not. But my shoes are made for walking. And every time I walk in those shoes, I'm walking by faith. So again, as we move on into the gospel message, we get to chapter 10. And I just remind you that there's so many things that had gone on in this gospel beforehand. Jesus had been healing demoniacs, healing those who were sick. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus was going on and on and on. And the apostles had a firsthand account of these things. So what would better help you and I to understand that this is not just a call for pastors and teachers and evangelists, and again, our whole listening in the book of Ephesians? But it speaks to us, and it speaks to us right here in chapter 10. And it says, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. And this is another scripture that we hear all the time about, that there's so much work to do, but the laborers are so few. But what these directions specifically say in the gospel is, he told them, therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And there we go again, every once in a while, oh, it's great for those who've been called, for those who understand the calling of God on their lives and God has called them to something in particular. But how often do you and I look at ourselves as a part of the harvest? How often do we feel that little tap on the shoulder that God gives us to say, no, you are a part of the harvest? When do we stop pointing the fingers to say, oh no, they'll do, and he'll do, and she'll do? But when do you ever look at yourself and say, I'll do? When do you look at yourselves and say, you know what? I'm going to walk in these shoes because these shoes are made for walking. When are you going to walk by faith into what God has given you to do, whatever it is? He says again, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go, he says. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. And we talked about this a little bit last week when we talked about how Jesus had this wonderful experience after being baptized in the Jordan by John. And right away, he was driven into the wilderness. So oftentimes you might think, well, why would a loving God allow us to have these wonderful experiences of witnessing and sharing and being a part of this harvest and then send us out among all of these wolves? Well, welcome to the world. Welcome to what God has called us to. Welcome to persecution in his name. Welcome to suffering. Welcome to grief. Welcome to death. Welcome to heartache. But it's also that God might be glorified, because we as believers believe that in the end, there is a great reward that waits for all of us. And then Jesus gives some of the same directions. He says, don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road. Whatever house you enter first, say peace to this household. And if a son... If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Now that we shouldn't take so literal as the apostles took. Because what it's saying is that there are some homes, there are some people that we'll come in contact with, some homes we might go into, some situations we might be involved in where they won't be so peaceful. Where you'll have to make the adjustment, not the persons of that house. When Anna came into my office on Wednesday and started chatting, I had to make an adjustment. Sure, there might have been a few more things that I knew about the Bible than she, but I had to make an adjustment because these shoes are made for walking. And all of this walking that we do is always by faith. The verse goes on to say, remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they offer, for the worker is worthy of his or her wages. It's saying that when you enter into a situation that you aren't so comfortable with, stay there. When you enter into a home or you enter into a situation here at church or a meeting, don't run away from it. Stay there. Because these shoes are made for walking, and your walking and my walking is only going to be done by faith, the faith that we have in God through his son, Jesus Christ. The instructions continue. Don't go around moving from house to house. When you enter any town and they welcome you, eat the things set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Heal the sick can mean literally healing the sick, because we know that God has given us that power and that authority if we believe to heal the sick. If there are any among you who are sick, then you call for the elders of the church so that they can pray for you that you might be made well. When you enter in any town and they don't welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we are wiping off as a witness against you even the dust of your town that clings to our feet. And don't be so quickly about shaking dust off your feet. Or I shouldn't be so quick about shaking dust off my feet. Because sometimes our shaking the dust off just means that we've gotten tired of a certain situation. Sometimes when we shake the dust off, we've given up. Sometimes when we shake the dust off, we don't want to endure persecution or suffering because we stood for what was right. These shoes are made for walking, and this walking has to always be done in faith. Verse 11 and the final verse says, we are wiping off as a witness against you even the dust of your town that clings to our feet. And know this for certain, the kingdom of God has come near. If you have done your part and I have done my part in the calling that God has given me, and I'm sure about what I've done, then I can indeed shake the dust off my feet. Maybe not like the apostles did in chapter 9, but I can shake the dust off my feet knowing I've done all that I could do. With the opportunity that God has given me, we have taken full advantage of it. We haven't let anyone slip through the cracks. If somebody comes asking you about dinosaurs and God made them, or somebody comes asking you about what adoption means from Despicable Me, we should be able to walk in these shoes that we've been given by our faith so that somebody else might be saved, come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and therefore have eternal life. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls this morning, these shoes that we wear as Christians are made for walking. And we do that walking by faith, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So the things that seem that they are and may not be, it doesn't matter, because we walk by faith and not by our sight. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again this morning for your word. We thank you for the way that you've spoken to us. And we thank you, God, for the way that I believe in our hearts we have been challenged. So we thank you for the challenge on this morning. And we ask that you would make us bold servants for you and for your kingdom, that we might walk boldly in these shoes that you prepared us with that are made for walking, and that we might walk from this day forward boldly and strongly by our faith. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen.